Good morning. Today's daf in Adar Mem Zayin. We're starting at the very top of the Amud. Ha'omer lechavero, right at the beginning, right where we should be in terms of today's daf. Here we are now in the fifth parak of the Masechta. Fifth parak is a short parak. More details regarding the making of Nedarim and the nature of the ned that's made, and what exactly is going to be included in the Yisr and what's not going to be included in the Yisr. And going back to the Mishnah that we saw, this is obviously we're coming off of a Mishnah. So when you say to a person, you look back, I'm in Vav Amud Aleph, Ha'omer Lechaver, I'm just reviewing the Mishnah. Ha'omer Lechaver, Kona Leveitzcha, Shani Nechnas, V'sadecha, Sheni Lokeach. So I say that I'm not going to go into your house, and I'm not going to go into your field. So so then that means to say that either you die or you sell the field, so then it's going to be Mutter. In other words, the neder is going to be a function of possession, meaning it's not the field that bothers me so much as the fact that it's your field. And so once the field is no longer yours, either because you sold it or because you're no longer here, whatever the circumstances are, the neder is lifted. That's number one. But the contrast case is konim bayis zeh shani nechnas v'sada zeh shani shalokech meitzo shemachulach ratzer. But if the neder is against the bayis zeh, or it's against the field, it's sada zeh. So in those circumstances where now I'm clearly making a neder, not against you, but in your possession of the field, but against the field itself, against the house itself. So under those circumstances now, the neder is going to continue even after you're no longer the owner of the field, because the neder is not a function of you owning the field. The neder is rather but just a function of, I don't want to get benefit from that house or from that field for whatever my reasons are, for whatever is motivating me. So then obviously the neder is going to continue, perpetuate, even if you're no longer the owner. Good. That's the Mishnah. That's pretty straightforward. The Gemara is going to ask a couple questions in today's daf. It's not a particularly long daf. Again, there are a lot of rounds today, but we're going to focus on just simple pshat in the Gemara. So, Bayavim, so we're going to start off with question number one. Bayavim, Konim Labayit Zeh, She'ata Nichnas. So, let's say now, Konim Labayit Zeh, She'ata Nichnas. So, let's say I make a neder that you're not going to be able to go into this house. Okay, now, over here, within the question, so obviously this is a departure from our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, we're talking about where you're making a neder for yourself. Here in Avimi's question, so we're reversing, and basically I'm making a neder that you're not going to be getting benefit from this particular house. Okay, which again, within the construct of a neder, you can do. We've discussed this numerous times. Let's review. When it comes to a neder, so if something belongs to me, I could ask for others to benefit from that which is mine. Something belongs to others, so I could create a prohibition from possessions that belong to others. What I cannot do is I cannot make an iser neder for somebody else with somebody else's property. Right? That's the only thing that I'm limited from. So now, what the question over here is predicated on the following. So, so I now turn to an individual and I say that this house over here, you're not going to go into this house. Good. So within the rules of a neder can be constructed. You can't go into this house. Again, this house currently is owned by me. Again, if the house is not owned by me, I can't make such a neder, but it's owned by me currently. And so I say you're not going into this house, meaning you're not going to be getting benefit from this house. So now what happens where either the one who made the neder dies or he sells the property. What would be the status now of that house, the gab of the person? So, Adam Oser Davar Birushuso Lichishiyetze Mirushuso Lo. And so over here, the question becomes the following. Can I create Nisr Neder for you that's something that's currently owned by me, but in the future is not going to be owned by me? But in other words, can I create a neder that'll perpetuate even as I'm no longer the owner? But in other words, I make the neder while I'm currently the owner, and then the question becomes whether or not this iser neder is going to perpetuate even when I'm no longer the owner. Okay, now hopefully this should sound familiar, by the way, because this is something we discussed not so long ago. In fact, in Daf Mem Beis. So we had a very similar discussion back then regarding, it happens to be the day that I missed, but okay. But in other words, the daf still went on even though I didn't say it. But but over there, the discussion regarding Shemitah. In other words, basically, we know in the seventh year, the Shemitah produce is going to be no longer mine. So can I make a neder now, meaning before Shemitah, even though in the Shemitah year, the produce is not going to be mine? So this is a really similar discussion, meaning that I'm making this house, my house right now, also to you via neder. Again, it's within my purview to do so. But now, is that neder going to perpetuate even after I'm no longer the owner of the house? Good. And the Gemara says, what is this? What's really going on over here? Meaning, what is the basis of this question? So again, let's work this out. And everything I'm saying basically is coming out of the Ran, but let's work this out. Meaning, if I'm making a neder for myself, so can it include, can it continue even after possession is gone? Of course. Meaning, consider. What did we learn in our Mishnah? In our Mishnah, when I say I'm not going into this house, right now the house currently is owned by you. But again, I'm making the neder for myself. I'm not going to be able to get benefit from it. And now, can it perpetuate even after you're no longer the owner? Of course. Because at the very premise of the neder, I'm making a neder on something that doesn't belong to me. And so therefore, of course it will continue even though you're no longer the owner. Again, as far as I'm concerned, I could prohibit something for myself even though I'm not the owner. So just because now you're currently the owner, if I don't attach your ownership as part of the definition of the neder, and as long as I'm making an independent neder on that property, I don't want to get benefit from that property. So of course it's going to perpetuate even after you're no longer the owner. That part's easy. However, over here, what we're deliberating is the following. When I'm now making a neder that you're not going to get benefit from my property, so already now we're starting at a chiddush. Meaning, can I do that? Yes. In the realm of nedarim, I could do that. But in other words, I'm making something usur for you, but only because it's owned by me. So once I now disavow, once I relinquish ownership of the item, is the neder able to perpetuate? Yes or no? That's the Gemara's question. And I'm a Rava Tashma. So Rava says, okay, I know the answer. And that is, Harmer Liv No, Konim Shiyat Anen Eli. So, Umeis Yoshenu. So let's say a person says to his son, look, you're not going to get any benefit from me. Okay, and it's a little bit rough, but in other words, for whatever reason, again, the motivation over here, and I don't know what the motivations are, and that's not our discussion, but the father says to the son, you're not going to get any benefit from me. So now, good. So as long as the father's alive, so now the son is prohibited from getting any benefit from the father, and neder was created. So then, but once the father dies, Yoshenu. So then what the son's going to be able to do is inherit all the properties after the father has died. However, because again, the neder over there was limited to, while I'm the owner of these items, you are not going to be able to get benefit from them. Obviously, after his death, he's no longer the owner of the items. So Yerusha occurs, and not only does Yerusha occur, but the Yisr Nedra is gone. However, the mission then continues. However, Bechayv of Amoso, let's say the father says to the son, you're not getting benefit from my possessions while I'm alive and even after I died. Umeis, and then the father dies, Lo Yerushenu. So the son is not going to inherit the property. Now, in a moment, let's come back to that and let's go over the Lashon of the Braisa, of Lo Yerushenu, and he's not going to inherit. Okay, because the Ran's got a lot to say about that, but in the meantime, however, what do we see clearly over here? What we see clearly over here is that the neder is going to perpetuate, even though he's no longer the owner. Meaning, he created a neder for somebody else on his possessions. That's currently his possessions. And then, even after he's no longer the owner of those possessions, because in this particular case he died, so still the neder is going to perpetuate. So shmamina adam osur davar birushuso lichishiyetsim birushuso shmamina. So within the construct, within the framework of a neder, if I'm currently the owner of these items, which allows me currently to make you prohibited to these items, so not only can I make that neder currently, but I can also perpetuate and continue that neder even though I'm no longer the owners of these items. But because currently I'm the owner of the item, so now I can make a neder for now and even after I'm no longer the owners of these items. So shmamina. So the gemara is good. So we have clarity on this issue. Again, this issue was discussed back on Daf Mem Beis. The Ran wants to know. In other words, back on Daf Mem Beis, why didn't the Gemara have this discussion as cleanly and as simply as we're having it right now? The Ran discusses anyway, but good. So the Gemara has a very, very clear conclusion regarding this idea that I can make a neder that you're not going to be getting benefit from my possessions, which again, currently they are my possessions, and therefore I'm afforded to make such a neder. But the idea now that it's going to perpetuate, even though I'm no longer the owner, that you can do. Okay. Now, just going to go back to the Lashon of the Braisa, because the Braisa says, Lo Yerushenu, so the son is not going to inherit those items. Okay, the Ran says, now I know we heard in the Braisa, Lo Yerushenu, he's not going to inherit it. But the Ran says, I have a simple question. What's going to happen to all those items? In other words, property of the father. What happens to the property of the father? Meaning what? Just going to go to Hefker? Oh, okay, fine. Let's assume he's the only. Let's assume he. Oh, okay, fine. So right. So what Phil's suggesting is that maybe it'll go to some other Yerush. The Ron. Good. Okay. Good. The Ron says I'm not hearing any of that. The Ron writes really clearly over here. I'll read it inside. It's so interesting. The Ron writes very clearly over here. The son's going to inherit it. I know the Brisa says lo yirshenu, but that's not what the Brisa means. The son is going to inherit it. Okay, fine. If you want to follow with me in the Ron, I'm just going to read a little bit of the Ron, a sampling of the Ron. It is it's hard to locate. There are two dots over there. Hava Yodea. It's after the Dibra Hamaskal Bayavime, meaning it's after the Gemara. It's about 8-9 lines down after that. Hava Yodea. Dechitan and Hachi Mesel Yershenu, Lavla Member de Kim Shenechasim Asurum Lobahana, Loyiske Behem, meaning vis a vis the son, they are Asur Bahana. He's not allowed to get benefit from them. Again, because of the Neder. But it doesn't mean that the son's not going to inherit it. The Hakatani Besefa, Dahim Asisim, Beperka Gozokama, Vitel Levan of Ola Achi, Vim Ainlo, Lova Ubalechoven, and Baim Venifraim. Vim Lozacha, Begufa Nechasim, Hechnosim Levan of Ola Achav, Vech Balechoven, Baim Venifraim. Elavadai nechasim didhu ninu. The Ron says that for sure it's going to go to the son. So elo sheinu rashai le'anos mehen. In other words, but what the son cannot do is he can't get benefit from it. In other words, basically what you're going to be yoreish, you are going to inherit something that you cannot get benefit from it. And this gets to this takes us to a classic discussion that comes up number of times in the Gemara, and that is that what is an asset that has zero value? In other words, vis-a-vis the son, these assets have zero value. But are they still considered assets, even though he's not allowed to get benefit from it? It's Isurei Hana'a, and yet they were his father's, and he's Yarish them. So are you able to Yarshin something that has $0 value to it vis-a-vis you? And the Ron says over here, clearly, the answer is going to be yes. I did the Tana Reisha Yerushan Alamar Shemotolanos Mehem Kishar Yoshim Tana Seifanami Lo Yerushan of Alav Dafka. And I know the Lashon of the Brisa is confusing because it says Lo Yerushanu, but that's just for symmetrical purposes. In the beginning of the Brisa, it says Yerushanu, which what the Brisa is trying to tell us is that the son's going to inherit it and he's able to get benefit from it. So therefore, the contrast language is going to be Lo Yerushanu, but Lav Dafka. It doesn't mean he's not going to inherit it. It just simply means that he can't get benefit from it. Okay, and the Ron goes on from there. But really interesting discussion in the Ron regarding this idea: when something has $0 value, can you still treat it like an asset? And the Ron over here clearly is of the position: yes. Over here, even though vis-a-vis the son, these items are going to be usur b'hana. Nevertheless, he's still going to inherit it. What good is it now that he has these possessions that have $0 value? Okay, the Ron discusses that point as well. But just in of itself, though, super interesting, and certainly that doesn't sound like the simple lashon of the Brisa. Okay, next.
You can make a hefka, let's say, and
allow other people to enjoy the Ron.
Yeah, and then could he get it back afterwards?
Okay, so okay, fine, good.
I don't know.
Okay, good.
Okay,
so
that's true with you. That no matter who has.
No. In other words, the neder is only vis-a-vis the son. The neder is the iser hana is only for the son, not for others.
But the son is still alive.
All right. Okay. Okay. Good.
Can the son ever get it?
Perfect. It's such a good question. Hold that thought. Bayavime konim labayit zeh shata nechnas. So meso shemar chulachir. I'm sorry. Just what happened? We did all that already. Okay, fine. Tanan Hasam. Okay, good. So, sorry, I lost my spot. I'm back. Okay, so Tanan Hasam, we learned in the Mishnah. We're on Mem Zayinam and Aleph. We're halfway down in the Amud. So good. So we just learned together that that you can create Nisr Neder. Somebody's not going to be able to get benefit from your possessions, which we knew already from day one of the Masechta. But the Chiddush that we said back on Daf Mem Beis, and we now reiterated in today's Daf of Mem Zayin, is that Isser Neder will perpetuate and continue, even if you're no longer the owner of the item, i.e. you sold the item, i.e. you died. In either one of those circumstances, the Isser Neder is going to perpetuate. Good. That's number one of today's Daf. Number two, Tanan Hasam, we're
good.
Enforcement over here is, not really the Gemara's issue. The issue over here is just simply whether or not the status, whether there is an Isser or there's no Isser. Tanan Hasan, we learned in the Mishnah, this is the Mishnah coming up later in the Masechta, Kohen Peres, Ailu Alai. So, I'll pee. Konim Hain Lifi. So, Asher Bechilufeim Uvigidulehim. Okay, so, we're talking now about exchanges, we're talking about derivatives. Okay, so this is really based on a Mishnah that's coming up later in the Masechta. So, it's on Daphne and Zion. So, a week and a half from now. So, what we're going to learn is as follows, and that is that if I make a neder where something is prohibited to me, so now the item that's going to be prohibited to me, so not only is the item going to be prohibited to me, exchange is also going to be prohibited, and also derivatives are going to be prohibited as well. So that means to say that if I talk about a fruit, and so said now that fruit is exchanged for something else, so that something else that was exchanged for the fruit is also going to be usher to me as well. Good. So exchanges are going to be usher, even though I made the neder only on the fruit, but anything that replaces the fruit to me is going to be just as usher. Nothing. These are just multiple examples of the formula of the neder. Right. I don't know why the Mishnah gave multiple examples. Okay, but they're just
the examples are the same. What is the difference?
Alpi
and
lifi. Yeah.
The same word.
Okay. I don't know enough grammar to tell you what if there's any significant difference. Okay. And not only exchanges are going to be prohibited, but also derivatives as well. Mm-hmm. Meaning that if there's growth that comes off of it. So in other words, fruit, animals, in other words, those things that reproduce. So if there's any growth and offshoots off of the item, so they're also going to be prohibited as well. Okay, good. So this is an idea which we're going to be exploring later in the Masechta. But the Gemara says, okay, as long as we're here and discussing this idea now regarding I made a neder which prohibited me from a particular item, so then gidulein v'chilufeim, both... let me go in the other direction. Chilufeim v'gidulehem, so both exchanges and derivatives and offshoots are going to be prohibited. The Gemara says, okay, great, I got it. Now, let's do the same thing again. Meaning, when I'm making the neder on something to me, so I understand now how exchanges and growth are going to be prohibited. Bayi Rami Barchama, Amar Kodem Peres Ha'ilu Aploni, Mal b'chilufeihem. Okay, so let's now go in the other direction. Where once again, within the neder, it can be constructed in a manner in which I'm now going to make an item, my item prohibited to somebody else. Good. You could do that via neder. And so now, are we going to be saying the same thing regarding both exchanges and derivatives? Are exchanges and derivatives going to be usher for that individual, much like when I make something usher to me, so exchanges and derivatives are going to be usher. So can we say the same thing when I make the neder that something of mine is going to be usher to somebody else? Mi amrinan. And what's the difference? What could possibly be the difference? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you. So lagabe delay hov adam oser peres chaver latzmo adam oser davishol abala olam. So look, when it comes to a neder you're making for yourself, let's consider what you can do regarding a neder for yourself. I can make something prohibited for me that belongs to somebody else. So that means to say that I could take something outside of my ownership and make it usher to me. Yeah. And so by extension, that would also include chilufeim, exchanges, and it would include also growth as well. The formula, the way the Gemara formulates it, it's fantastic. Meaning basically what can happen, adam oser davar shelo bala olam. I can create a neder on something that hasn't yet occurred. Now, again, this is a major discussion throughout the entirety of the Gemara of whether or not you can make an exchange, you can make an acquisition on a davar shelo bala olam. Can I buy something that has not yet materialized as of yet? Now, even though that's true, it's a general discussion throughout the entirety of Shas, but the Gemara's point over here is very limited and very focused, meaning, what can I do with a neder? What I can do with a neder is I can create a neder even though the item does not belong to me, right? In other words, for myself. In other words, in terms of a prohibition for myself, I can include in the neder something that doesn't belong to me. Mm-hmm. So basically, I can take an item outside of me and prohibit it to me. So vis-a-vis neder, you can create a neder on an outside item. Ah. So when I'm making the neder for myself, so much like I can create a neder for an outside item, included in that ability is also things that have not yet materialized. In other words, it's the way the Gemara perceives it, it's really no different. In other words, it's something outside of my purview. But again, if I can make a neder on something that doesn't belong to me, I can also make a neder on something that hasn't yet materialized. And so therefore, exchanges and derivatives are going to be usher when the neder is for me. But when I'm making a neder for somebody else, meaning it's my possessions, and I'm now going to be making the neder for him. So over here, let's see the Gemara's formulation. Davish lo balolam al atzmo. The gabe chavero hove ina the moser peres chavero chavero ina the moser davish lo balolam a chavero. You know, when it comes to my friend, here's what I cannot do. I cannot make for my friend something usser that doesn't belong to me. Meaning, I can't create an isser for my friend on something outside of my purview. So what does that show me? It shows me now that I'm really limited and capped in terms of what isser I can create for my friend. Only those things that are currently on my possession. And so maybe over here, when it comes to my friend, so maybe it will not include chilufeim, and maybe it will not include gidulam as well. It won't include exchanges, and it won't include derivatives. So this is now the question of our second question of today. When I am making an neder for myself, certainly it'll include exchanges, and certainly it'll include derivatives, right? Outgrowths of the item. But when I'm making a neder for my friend, in other words, that he can't get benefit from something that I currently own, so what is the item now going to be usher? The item itself for sure, an exchange of the item, or alternatively a derivative of the item, is or is not going to be included in the neder? That's the Gemara's question. Okay, good. On one hand, I hear you. On the other hand, the Gemara lumps both of them under the category of a davar shelo bala olam, meaning currently as the neder is being formulated, they are not here. The outgrowth is not here. The exchange is not here.
They're both derivatives.
They're both derivatives. Right. They're both derivatives. I understand. In other words, I'm using a fancy word of exchanges and derivatives, but in other words, they're both derivatives of the original item. And so the question now becomes is that when I make a neder on behalf of somebody else, that he's not going to benefit from my item, so am I capped and limited to only the item itself, but not its growth and not its derivative? Again, on the flip, I know I said this already, but I just want to try to be as clear as possible. On the flip, where I'm making a neder, then I'm not benefiting from any item. Either the item belonged to me or belonged to somebody else. It doesn't matter. But when I'm making it for myself, look, I have the ability for myself to make something usher for me that doesn't even belong to me. So therefore, it would include derivatives and it would include exchanges as well. But for somebody else, maybe I'm capped and maybe I'm limited. Or the Gemara says, or maybe no, maybe there's no difference. Maybe your ability to create an neder for somebody else would include also exchanges and derivatives as well. So this is the question that's formulated by the Gemara. Now, the Ron also over here, you can see there's a lot of Ron in today's daf. The Ron over here says that this question over here is not just limited to those things that are usher via neder. Meaning, really, the Gemara's discussion over here is basically anything that's usher behana. Any isure hana would fall under this category and fall under this discussion of whether or not it would include both exchanges and derivatives. How does the Ron know that? Basically, based on the upcoming Gemara. So the Gemara says, let's see. Amra v'acha bra min yomei tashma. So the Gemara gives an answer, and that is Amar Lisha Konim Shani Nanalach. Konim Shani Nanalach. The way the Ran understands the Gemara is as follows: husband saying to his wife, "You're not going to be getting any benefit from me." Now again, the Ran is bothered by the simple question that what is the husband doing over here, right? The wife is not going to be able to get any benefit from him. He's meshubad. In other words, he absolutely has an obligation to go ahead and support her and to feed her. And what can he possibly make such a neder that the food that I currently own right now or any of my possessions is going to be usher to you? He has to feed her. So how can he make such a neder? So the way the Ron says it is that he made the neder before they got married. In other words, or during Erusin, where he didn't have an obligation to support her. So at that point in time now, he is he made the neder, and under those circumstances that he made the neder, so the neder is going to be chal, and not only is the neder going to be chal, but presumably even after they get married, the neder is going to be chal as well. Okay.
Divorce her,
no? In other words, right. It's dysfunctional. let's just keep it nice and simple. Of course, it's terribly dysfunctional, and it's not going to make for a productive marriage. And okay, the obvious points we're going to look past that right now. Again, we are just laser focused on the following, and that is his ability. In other words, now that he made such a neder, and now that she can't get any benefit from his possessions, so now Omer Lisha Konim Shani Nana Lach. So what does she do? So what she'll do is the following, and that is that she will borrow money, and now what the creditors are going to be able to do is the creditors are going to go back to the husband now and collect from the husband. So Lova.
How is this different from the case where the guy was away?
Perfect.
And somebody supported the wife, and they said he's hanging.
Okay, hold that thought. Okay, well, fantastic question. Okay, I'm going to repeat Ben's question and I'm going to answer. I'm not answering, the Ron's going to answer, but we'll come back to that. So, Lova Balichov and Baim and Nifraim. My time, Balichov and Nifraim, Lamishim, Dechilufim, Lavki Gudulim Dami. So the Gemara says, now, let's just assume that this is correct, which the Gemara says it very flatly, that what can happen now is that basically she can borrow money from creditors, and now what the creditors can do, and now is that they can go to the husband, and they can get paid back from the husband. Now, so over here, let's take into account what just happened. The husband made a neder against his wife that she's not going to get benefit from him. That means that to her, all of his possessions are aser. Okay, good. Now, basically, what she's done is that now she has borrowed money, and she obviously now has creditors because she borrowed money, and those creditors can go now to her husband and now collect the obligation. Okay, in so doing, effectively, what she's done is that basically she's made an exchange. In other words, the food itself, which is usher to her, she's exchanged it. In other words, she converted it to money. She took that money and she purchased food. And with that food now that she purchased, she's allowed to eat that food that she purchased. So what have we just seen occur? So what we've just seen together is that despite the fact that the husband made an isser neder towards his wife on his food for her, nevertheless, exchanges for that are going to be mutter. Okay. That's what we just saw together. So, but we are right now just focused on the one question that the Gemara is asking in terms of what is going to be the status of an exchange. And what it sounds like over here is that as far as the status of the exchange is concerned, so the status is that it's going to be mutter to her. In other words, aside from the fact that, yes, in other words, all this is terribly dysfunctional, but the exchange is going to be mutter to her. And so the question that we asked is, what is going to be the status of when something is asur bahana and you make an exchange of that item? So what is the status of that exchange? So what it sounds like is mutter. That's what it sounds like. Okay. Now to Ben's question that he asked moments earlier. Well, let's just first, before we get to that. Let's just see the Gemara's answer. So my time about lechov and nefarim lav mishum dechilufim lav ki gedulam dame. So Amarav adama lechatchila hu delo the avad. So Rava says, okay, I'm not sure if this is going to be a good test case of outward discussion. Meaning over here, what we're discussing is that it happened bidi avad, meaning post facto. Meaning, if she's done it already, so now what she could do is she could take the money that she borrowed and she could use it to buy food for herself. So, but that's only from a post facto standpoint. What we're asking is whether or not, ideally, can she make an exchange for that which is prohibited to her, for her? And as such, is what's going to happen under those circumstances? L'chatchila. All we see in the Brisa case over here is only b'di'evit. But what we're asking is whether or not l'chatchila an exchange can be made, and is that exchange going to have the same status as the original item, which is asur bahana? Good. So basically, what we've done over here is that we haven't perfectly proven our point because all we've done is just gone to the point of b'di'evit. But we would like to know l'chatchila. Okay. Now let's go back to Ben's question, and Ben wants to know. So we saw the end of k'suvos, and not only did we see it at the end of k'suvos, we also saw it earlier in the Durim. Lamed Gimel, hopefully, if I remember correctly. And that is the opinion of Chanan. The opinion of Chanan is that in the event that a husband went away and the wife now has nobody supporting her, and what somebody would like to do now is somebody would like to sponsor her, right? Which is lovely, wonderful. So Chanan said that under those circumstances, what happens now is that when the husband comes back, So what he doesn't have to do, he doesn't have to pay back the debt. So so, and that's the opinion of Hanan and.
I'm sure you want to support him also. He said, remember something he said nicely. Isn't that one thing that
Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said? Yeah, and right, and perfect. And the halacha falls like that position of Hanan. So over here, so it bothers Rishonim that over here, in other words, if she borrows money, so the assumption of Agamar over here is that those people, her creditors now, can simply go to the husband and collect the debt back from the husband. Meanwhile, in almost what seems to be a perfectly comparable case where somebody gave her food. So now, and the person wants to go back to the husband and go ahead and be able to get reimbursed for the food that he sponsored. So according to Hanan, he's not entitled to reimbursement.
It has to be a loan.
So what the Ron says is that the distinction we're going to be making is the following. And that is that in the case where she borrows money, so then the creditors can go and collect from the husband. Why? She booted the Rebbe Nachman. Because basically what happens is as follows. So she has the husband has an obligation to her, and now she creates an obligation to others. And so basically what happens is that my borrower's borrower becomes my borrower. Okay?
But the thing is, she is not a borrower from her husband.
Okay.
It's not a loan. The husband has an obligation to pay, but it's not a loan that you could stick it, plug in, she would
fine.
Nothing.
Right. Okay, so on one hand I hear you, but in other words, but that's
no, but it's not a law.
Yep, I do hear you. I'll show you the lesson that I hear.
But the kasuba is a guarantee.
But it's not a
guarantee because she has a lien.
It's a commitment to support, right? But it's not a loan.
Agreed.
It's not a set amount of money that the husband owes her that you say A owes B and B owes C and then A can go to C. It's not that.
Good.
It's not.
Look at the Ron at the top of the Amud. The Ron says exactly this. Four lines from the top of the Amud. Ron Mem Zayin Amud Beis. The Ron writes Aval Kishihi Lova. But when she's borrowing the money, Chayeves he b'mashal avsa. So now at that point in time, now she, the chiv is created. And ubale chov nifrei min abal demotzi mizev nosan zem mi de Rabbi Nachman. In other words, this operates under the principle of shibuda de Rabbi Nachman. Uvezei yatzas yedei chovasim mikol masharich haRashba. And the Rashba is also bothered by the same question. How is this any different than the case of Hanan? And so what the Ron says is that look, I think it's very simple, and that is that once she goes ahead and she borrows money, and now the husband owes her. And she owes this under this other individual. So basically, my borrower's borrower becomes my borrower, and so therefore, she buda de Rabbi Nachman allows for a direct connection between her creditor and her husband, who's her creditor. And Ben, I hear your point. By the way, I'm. But the Ron clearly makes such a distinction, and that would be the difference between the case of Hanan and our case over here. That's the way the Ron sees it, and I understand it's not as simple as I'm laying it out, but the Ron sees it that simply. Okay, so where are we right now? So, on the question of, in other words, we're addressing our second question of today. So, on the question of, when I make a neder for myself, and now the item is prohibited to me via my neder, so not only is the item prohibited to me, but exchanges are prohibited for me, exchanges of that item, and derivatives of that item are going to be prohibited to me. That's easy, that's a mishnah that's coming up later in the Masechta, that's Daf Nun Zayin. What we want to know is that when I create a neder for somebody else, he's not allowed to get benefit from something that belongs to me. So now, that this is a different type of neder. This is not a neder for me, this is a neder for somebody else, but I can create it because it's currently mine. But am I limited and capped now on such a neder? Is the neder only going to be including the principal item itself, but not the exchanges and not the outgrowths? Alternatively, no. Much like something usher to me is going to be usher both in terms of exchange and outgrowth. So maybe when I usher something of mine to somebody else, same thing as well. That's what we're asking. And so one more time, the Gemara is going to try to prove it. So Tashma. So the Gemara says, again, let's consider the following. I go out to the field and I go to a tree and the tree is producing fruit, but it's year one or year two or even year three. In other words, after the planting of the tree, the first three years, so all the fruit that come off that tree the first 3 years is considered arla, is arla, which means that it's asa b'achila, it's asa b'ana. You're not allowed to get benefit from it. Good. So that means to say that vis-a-vis me, it has zero value. So that means now that if I go over to a woman and mekadesh her with the arla fruit, so ena mekadesh, the condition does not work, right? I always struggled with the arla halacha. We planted a mango tree. We attempted to, and for years it didn't produce fruit after we planted it. But I have to imagine my knowledge of planting is so limited. But I have to imagine that there are trees that produce fruit within the first 3 years of it, 3 years of its planting. Anyway, notwithstanding, the point over here is as follows, and that is that if I'm a kaddisher with that fruit, it's, the kedushin is not going to be a good kedushin. Obviously, meaning I have to give her something of value, and right now the arla has zero value. It's also about achila, it's also about not, it has zero value. I didn't give her a shava pruta. I didn't give her something of value. But now what the Mishnah then goes on to say is that machrim b'kiddush b'dimehem is a mekudeshes. But what happens now is that if I'm a kaddish b'dimehem, well, let's say now I exchange the arla for something else, and now on the exchange, I'm go ahead and mekaddish her with the exchange, so the kedushin now is going to be a valid kedushin. So what did we just see together? We see that when something is aser ba'ana, and I exchanged it for something else. Now, by the way, if you think about it, by the way, when you say you exchanged it for something else, right. Who's making the exchange for you? In other words, it's so strange that, in other words, obviously he's not getting value for that which he exchanged for you. The only point that we're making is that the status of is or hana does not move over to the exchanged item. Okay, fine. So in other words, so over here, and this is comparable to what? This is not comparable to me making a neder on an item. Again, when I'm making a neder where I'm prohibiting myself to benefit from a particular item, so that will include both growth and exchanges. But over here, when we're talking about arla, this is more comparable to an item where somebody else made the neder. In this particular case, by the way, that somebody else is a kadosh baruch hu, meaning arla is prohibited to everybody. But what comes out over here is that when I have something that is usur, in other words, and it's not because of a neder that I personally made for myself, but in other words, but because somebody made the usur for me. In this case, Hashem made the usur for me. But regardless, the point is that what do we see clearly over here is that if I exchange it, or if there's an outgrowth. Now, outgrowth is funny, by the way. Arla and outgrowth is not a good example. But in other words, if there's an exchange for the item, so the item of exchange does not gain the status of usur hana. So what we see over here, seemingly, is a really good proof that when I have something that was, the iser was created by somebody else, so then the status does not move to the item. So the Gemara says again, so hachanam lechatchilu hu delal v'yavad avad. So the Gemara says no. That again, what we see over here is that only bidyevad, only post facto, meaning if it's done already, so then its exchange is not going to gain the same status as the original item. I know that now bidyevad. What I'm asking, what we continue to ask and leave unresolved is lechatchila. In other words, would I be able lechatchila, ideally, to go ahead and exchange it and then use the exchanged item in order to and be able to benefit from the exchanged item, even from an ideal standpoint? That's the Gemara's question that the Gemara has left unresolved. I'm going to stop over here at the Mishnah and let's just quickly review. In other words, effectively, in today's daf, it's a very really straightforward daf. So we asked two questions. The first question we answered definitively. The second question, not so much. In question number one, where I go ahead and make something usher to somebody else. And in other words, currently the item is in my possession, but I make it usher to somebody else. Is that isser neder going to perpetuate even though I'm no longer here? Meaning that I clearly articulate and say that this item will be usher to you for the future, right? For the foreseeable future, even if I'm no longer here. So can I create such a neder and have that neder perpetuate even though I'm no longer the owner? So the Gemara's answer is yes. In other words, that you can do. And then that was part one of today's daf. The Gemara conclusively says yes. In other words, a neder can be created even outlasting you. Good. And then the second question of today is whether or not I make a neder for myself and it includes both exchanges and outgrowths, that we know. In other words, chilufein v'gidulehem. On a neder that you make for yourself, that's a davar pashu. That's a mishnah back on upcoming on Daphne and Zion. But now when I make the neder in the reverse, where I make something of mine usher to somebody else, so will that also include gidulehem v'chilufeim? At best, what we were able to say is not b'di'evan, but lechatchila we left unresolved.